business and bourbon.
Why the hell did you start a business?
Real talk, real people.
What is my value? Because I didn't know it at the time.
Real drinks.
I am not everybody's cup of tea.
We're going to get real, man.
This is where you need to be. I'm Ronnell Richards, and this is where leaders come.
You're very open in sharing your story. Why?
We're doing business with human beings.
Like all those questions you would ask yourself if you transition to become an entrepreneur.
No guidelines, no rules, make it happen.
Education, inspiration, and motivation. Man, I can't wait to get into this. Welcome back to Business and Bourbon, where we have real talk with real people. My name is Ronnell Richards. I am your host and the founder of Business and Bourbon. I'm coming to you once again from the beautiful Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we are enjoying the Business and Bourbon Lounge. And I am joined by yet another leader in business, Mr. Tim. Now that we had this pre-show, guys, full disclosure, we had a little conversation about Tim's last name, yes. Right? And it is Jose. However, people have called him Juice, and so I want to say yeah. Juice so bad, Tim.
So, my line is like some of my best friends have called me Juice, so I'll answer to either Jose or Juice, whatever.
All right, so
hopefully you're calling me Juice by the end of the day. You're calling me Juice, there you go.
I like it. I like it.
See, the connection is made.
Well, welcome to the podcast, my friend. First thing, you know, when we get this thing started, I always like to kind of ask a couple of questions that let people know who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I like to ask fun stuff.
All right. Shoot, man.
Yeah. So here's my first fun question for you. What are you drinking? What's your favorite drink?
I'm simple. Sam Adams, Boston Lager. Oh. Yeah. Every day. I don't venture far from that. I'd say, back in the college days, it was just anything that was wet I drank.
Yeah, but yeah, I've heard that a time or two.
But it's definitely mostly Sam Adams now is the drink of choice.
Okay, so first, Sam Adams Boston Lager is a solid choice.
Yes.
Okay, so I had...
Every time I drink it, I feel like I'm putting my foot on a barrel beer, in the commercials.
Well, you know what? And here's the thing. Like, they kind of started the craft brewing thing here in the United States.
They technically are craft, right?
They are. Yeah, well... Yeah. I guess, yeah. But I mean, they're massive, and I know someone else owns them now.
I think originally the one guy from Boston was going around everywhere and selling it into the restaurants, and that was really, they're definitely that crafty as we know it today. For sure.
So you're a Boston Lager guy.
Yeah.
I am a Porch Rocker guy. If you guys have not had Porch Rocker, have you had Porch Rocker?
I've not had Porch Rocker, no.
So it's almost like, it's like the perfect summer beer. I think it's kind of like a summer shandy or something.
The thing about Boston Lagers, it's good summer or winter, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it's not too hoppy. It's not this, it's not that, I went on like a Blue Moon kick one time for about 2 years, and that way too hoppy. Yeah, I was doing some sampling and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my, just from the hoppiness of the beer and the effect it has on you. I was like, we're back to Boston Lager.
So here's what you're going to learn about me, Tim. I am, and the rest of you. So I'm the business and bourbon guy, but before there was bourbon, there was beer.
Yeah.
Beer was my first love. And so I have had to date, I don't know, over 1,000 different beers. And so I can drink anything, any time of year.
Yeah.
Give me the darkest, most syrupy, thick, viscous beer, and I will drink it in 100-degree weather.
The quote-unquote coffee beers are not...
you can't rock with those?
I can't rock with those. You know? One time I was... with a friend in Chicago, we went to a restaurant and I had a flight in 2 hours. Right?
Yeah.
He's like, let's get some beer. I'm like, whatever you want. I'll get what you get. So they come out, they have a shifter in the beer and I go and drink it. Right. And then you want another one? Yeah. I had another one. And he's like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm drinking beer, dude. He's like, that's Golden Monkey. That's like 17% alcohol.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So you're not paying attention. Can drink so,
So, all I remember is barely got in the taxi, got to Midway, right?
Yeah.
I get to Midway. I wake up. I have Fritos all up and down my shirt. And the lady's like, you got to get on the plane. I'm like, I don't even know where the hell I am.
Well,
I was very fortunate. But, it was a dear friend I was with in Chicago for that one. It was a story I'll never forget because I literally just was, it was only like 3 or 4 beers, but
it was the monkey. Dude, listen, I have a Golden Monkey story as well. My wife and I, it was one of these, I don't even remember why we were in Atlanta. We went to Atlanta and we were hanging out and there was this cool little bar we'd never been into.
We went in there and they and sampled Golden Monkey for the first time. Yeah. They went down so easy.
Oh my! So it's clear because usually like when they're higher alcohol, it's a, like syrupy. Yeah. Like you're saying, it's a thicker content. But man, this it put me on my ass.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was like it was a long day too because like you know I flew up that morning. I'm flying back that night. I get these four Golden Monkeys on me.
Oh,
Fritos
you have
on
four,
me.
Geez.
Oh my gosh!
Word to the wise. It's a delicious beer though, right?
Very delicious. It doesn't. You don't taste that level of alcohol in it.
Yeah,
which is scary.
Yeah, but it's definitely dangerous. So Golden Monkey, and that is made by I forget who makes that. You guys make a fantastic beer, but shame on you.
You need a warning label.
So. You're from Pittsburgh.
Yes, sir.
Right, yeah, because
you can't hear my Pittsburghese.
Yes,
you can't hear
that. It's there. All right, what's the best sandwich in Pittsburgh?
There's the Primanti's, which we're famous.
Is it the best though?
Yeah, there's some good fish sandwich places in Pittsburgh. Uh-huh. Yeah, big massive codfish sandwiches, but it's Primanti's. I mean, Primanti's has some good ones, and they're everywhere now. I mean, you used to have to go to certain places to get Primanti's, but now they're in like every suburb that's out there.
So is the quality still good though?
Oh, the Primanti's.
And by the way, they're not a sponsor, so
I was gonna say I might not be able to make my flight home if I say Primanti's is bad, but yes, Primanti's is good.
You land in Pittsburgh and they're waiting for you. Like the podcast hasn't even
been
released yet.
They were
like,
at me. Yeah.
Like, well, now we've heard you said something about Primanti's. I don't have the. Yeah. You should.
Well,
you know,
like, the sandwiches. You can pick your meat or your main part, but then you have French fries and coleslaw on the sandwich. So that's the thing. So if I said something bad about Primanti's, it'd be throwing coleslaw at me as I get off the plane.
Yeah.
In protest.
I've been to Pittsburgh and I'm feeling like. You could probably have that sort of thing happen.
Yeah.
You guys take certain things very serious.
Like, don't mess with the terrible towel, right? Yeah, you mess with the terrible towel. The Bengals messed with it the 1 year, and they went from almost winning the game into losing, and they went on like a multi-year losing streak. The Bengals bungled, so. That was you don't mess with the terrible towel for sure.
Those towels, and I was a Atlanta Falcons season ticket holder for a lot of years, and every time the Steelers came to town, you take over our dome. It's crazy. And when you're swinging the towels, it feels like there's double the amount of Steeler fans. Yeah. You guys have a rabid fan base, and I respect it.
A lot of people move out of Pittsburgh, and they live in Atlanta or live in places. Well, they travel good, too, but most of it is people who are out of the city, and they're like, it's like nostalgic to go see the Steelers when they're in town. When like Arizona's a big one. There's a ton of Pittsburgh people.
I've heard that.
Ex-Pittsburgh people in Arizona.
I've heard that.
And like you go to an Arizona game, there's Steelers fans everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's been a little bit since you guys won a championship, though. You guys
us and the Cowboys, the mystique is fading.
There's no
away.
Cowboy mystique anymore. Sorry, Cowboy fans, but like, I have a son who is 21. He's never seen the Cowboys win a playoff game, right? Maybe or did they get one?
Steelers.
I'm not trying to knock you.
Like 8-8 for a while, and like no losing seasons, right? Well, we upgraded to 9-8 this year, so now I'm not sure. I'd take a 1-15 year if we won a Super Bowl 2 or 3 years later.
You know what? I would too.
Yeah, you got to.
I just need something. Though. Yeah.
But they had a good draft. They had a good. I think they got. They obviously have good coaching, and that it should be interesting what happens. But Kenny Pickett, a quarterback, I mean, he's a baller. So.
We'll see. That's what you guys think. All right.
Yeah.
On to your business. Let's tell the people what you do. What do you do for a living?
Yeah. So Warner Telecom does enterprise technology management. We help clients to connect, optimize, and manage their IT services. That includes cloud, mobile, software, and landline services. So, it's all about the information. To me, information in our company, information is gold.
Yeah.
So we have 800 connectors worldwide to ingest invoice data. We have about 100 connectors to like Salesforce, ServiceNow, Oracle, SAP to ingest and push data to those systems. We also have data connections to the cloud providers, the big three, to pull data in. And then from there, we have data integrity to make sure the data is accurate and if it's right, if it's wrong. And then we start to manage that data. Maybe we're helping with SLA credit attainment. Maybe the client needs all their vendor portal credentials documented.
Yeah.
So we have APIs for all that information, pushes, validations, cost reductions. So clients definitely come to us for cost reductions. Hey, the market's tough. I need to save 20%. But you're staying with us because of the automations. Hey, this used to take me 3 full-time equivalents to accomplish. Now it's down to a 10-hour a month job for me.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's really the magic that we have. And we're launching automation jobs, you know, 2 to 3 times a week to further automate new data that's coming in, new scenarios that are occurring, and new situations that we can help our clients and ourselves move quicker, faster, better, which it's all about.
That's a lot. Yeah. You got a lot going on, man.
We got a lot going on, growing
and,
company.
And I hear, like, man, you are a family man. Like, you have 32 kids, is it?
That I know of, 5, right? Yeah, that I know. But, yeah, I have 5, 3 boys and 2 girls. It's chaos.
That's absolutely awesome.
Chaos, and we don't squeeze, right? Because we squeeze, they slip through our fingers, but we kind of try to get them to do what they're supposed to do and see what happens. But yeah.
Well, you're running a company that is growing like wildfire, and not just customer base, but you're growing staff and all that, and you're traveling around the country doing great things, evangelizing, and what's your secret, man? Like, how are you, because you maintaining that? I don't like to say balance, because I don't think it's balance so much as it's the life, the business. But how do you handle, you know, making sure you take care of your responsibilities at home and dealing with the things that you have to do with the business?
A support network, you know, from a business side, you know. From the top up, you know, I have a CEO that I work with, great, Carol Kurtanek. We work tightly together to, you know, to initiate programs and to put things in place to support our team. Mm-hmm. And then from an operational and sales team, you know, we have, you know, great people that are, you know, entrusted to do what they're supposed to do, and they make it happen. And they're using the tools that we're launching to, again, move quicker, faster, better. You'll probably hear me say that at least 15 more times in this conversation, but everything is about quicker, faster, better. And we're doing that, you know, from both a product side and from a internal side.
Okay.
To give people the tools they need to do
that. I get it. Your team's awesome.
Yeah.
But you're a family man too. And there's a lot of other family men that are watching this. Like, it's a challenge that we all have, man. Yeah. So it's something that I love to talk about with leaders like you. How do we do it? How do we make, like, kids' soccer games and things like that? How do you prioritize?
My oldest was supposed to have a game Monday, Tuesday. It got rained out. And they got pushed to when I'm back. So I got the rain from God to help me not miss his game. So
nice.
I can't take any credit for that, but from God. You know, my younger son had the same thing. So I'm very fortunate I didn't miss any events while I'm here for a couple of days. But I get back, it's going to be absolute chaos.
Do you is there a certain way that you travel, or do you do anything with your travel schedule?
Oh, I manipulate travel schedule to the T of, you know, this is what's going on. I, you know, some of the programs my kids are with are very flexible with scheduling. So we can schedule, like, I get back, you know, tomorrow night, Friday, there's 2 things that would have happened on Tuesday that are going to happen on Friday now. So, you know, we move things around, and again, it's a network. It's, you know, making good decisions, you know, people decisions, who you partner with, and, you know, even like
support
system. It sounds weird, but like, even on like the youth sports side, you're partnering with these people to, you know, to give your kids a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, that's a great experience. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but it means that they're going to compete, right? They can compete and do their best and lose. They could compete and do and win, whatever it might be. But they're, you know, my thing for all my kids is go out there and compete. You know, go out there and do your best, and you're gonna fail sometimes. And if you're not failing, you're not trying, right?
Yeah.
And you can take that into the business side too.
No doubt.
I am so excited to tell you about South Puget Sound Community College's Craft Beverage Business Management Program. You see, SPSCC's Craft Beverage Business Management Program is designed to provide you with the skills and knowledge you need to succeed in one of the fastest growing sectors in business. With a curriculum that includes courses on beverage production, distribution, and marketing, you'll learn the ins and outs of the craft beverage industry from some experienced professionals. Plus, you'll have the opportunity to network with industry leaders and gain valuable hands-on experience through internships and field trips. But check this out, that's not all. You'll also have access to state-of-the-art facilities and equipment, including a beautiful pilot brewery, cidery, and distillery. You'll learn the latest techniques and technologies for brewing, fermenting, and distilling. So if you're passionate about craft beer, cider, or spirits, and want to turn that passion into a career, visit spscc.edu/brewing.
So, you know, you've been with Warner Telecom for how many years now?
21 years.
21 years.
Yeah, as of April 1st.
So, and over that 21 years, you had to pivot. You guys had to do a hard pivot. from, you know, one model to the current model that you're on now?
It's been one company, but it's probably been about four different companies through the time. There's been changes, and, you know, unfortunately, our previous CEO passed away about 6 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, we had to pivot. We had a lot of hard situations to deal with instantaneously.
Yeah.
That, you know, we had to scramble, and, you know, luckily by that, the end of that month, we paid every partner. We ran payroll and we cashed all the checks we need to pay.
Yeah.
At that point, it was kind of a single operation. So since that, we've built a lot of redundancy within the organization, a lot of automations to handle things like that. So, you know, that we're in a good spot. You know, previous to that, you know, we used to do carrier services as a core function,
yeah,
right? And, you know, we sell a service and whatever it might be. But then we looked in 2010, like, we kept getting the bigger and bigger deals, but those clients just needed our services, but they didn't have the ability to switch carriers.
Yeah.
So we built out our enterprise technology management platform, and we've grown that with these partner community. One really big thing with us is partnering. You know, mm-hmm. People say I'm partner friendly. You know, we're partner intimate. Without the partners, we're nowhere, right? And without the partners, we're out of business. We don't have a direct sales force. We're not competing with our partners directly or indirectly. We're not selling something at a loss just to get in to sell more services somewhere else. We're not going to do that, and that's not who we are. We're going to tell you what we can do, and if it fits the customer, great. If not, we're here for the next deal. And you have so many other TEMS out there that are doing things like that just to get doing a low price just to get in. And then you hear these horror stories that they're not partnering and they have a direct sales force that's selling cloud services somewhere else, and you're competing with somebody you brought in a deal. That doesn't happen to us because we're partner intimate.
So I want to ask you something, because, and the reason I ask you about pivot is so many in the business world, and especially in the technology channel, they're faced with pivoting right now, right? Like, we've been in this era of abundance the last couple of years, and now they're starting to figure out, I got to do things differently, and either they're being forced to, or those revenue streams are drying up. You've got experience in making those pivots. Like, what was your process for identifying where to pivot to?
Yeah, it's really the listening part, right? So we're in conversations with clients and talking them about what's going well within our project, within our portfolio, and what else they need out there. And clients will say, hey, you know, this is great, Tim, you're doing fantastic for us, but hey, we need a dashboard that shows all our locations and who the carrier is and the account number and the email and the DMARC and the IP addresses and the phone number. Because we're sending our techs out, they're getting there at 2 a.m. and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's causing all this chaos. So we did that, we deployed that service for that customer, and now we're rolling it out to everybody else to, again, move quicker, faster, better with information at the fingertips.
So for you, it started with paying attention to the customer's needs and creating, you created new products for your customers, which you decided to scale and roll out to more customers.
Exactly. Yes. By listening, like QBR. So we had another customer tell us that they, you know, everyone has outages, right? Carrier outages, you know, your circuits go down and they have an SLA from the carrier. So if my circuit's down for over 4 hours, I get a credit. That's great. But they didn't have a process to get the service level credits.
Yeah.
They didn't have a way to go out there. So again, listening to a customer, they said, hey, we need a way to automate this. So we automated that from a ServiceNow environment to our system. The client handles the ticket. It comes to us. We validate if it's in or outside the SLA. And if it's outside the SLA, we go get a credit. For that customer, since we started this program, we've helped them recover $190,000 of fees that they've always had, but they never had the ability to get those credits.
Got it.
So that's how we use data to create action and put information at the fingertips of these customers and the IT team and the finance team and the HR team, making sure that ecosystem of data is all interconnected with checks and balances.
So what I'm hearing from you, and I hope that our listeners take from your share, is to pay better attention to what their customers are saying, what their customers, because it might be something that you're not,
decisions.
It's not even your core competency, right?
Like, offer accurate data. That's what it's all about. So you can make a decision. Hey, I want to change this. And oh, you're still in term.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, this challenge or that challenge. You have to make informed decisions about live data and then you're in a good spot. But if you tell a customer make a change and there's some other cost that you weren't considering that happens, you're out the door. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to have that information. You're not going to have that client as in any fashion moving forward.
Mm. Mm. I hope that helps some of you guys out there, really, because, again, so many are faced with having to make those changes right now.
Yeah,
right?
And it's hard because you're used to doing it one way, but, you know. Yeah,
there you go. Here's the fear thing, right?
We're in the race to zero, right, in the telco world. Every price is dropping. It's been dropping nonstop, but you got to provide, but the clients need value, so you need to listen and charge appropriately for the service. People need to stop giving things away for free that clients are willing to pay for. Mm. So that's why we're in a race to zero. So, the one thing we know is that the carriers are dysfunctional, right? Across the board, they're dysfunctional. If they weren't, we wouldn't be in business. No consultants or agents would be in business because, a carrier would magically place an order, or a client would magically place an order. It would install in a day and then bill accurately the next day, but that doesn't happen. So that's where our platform comes in across landline, mobile, cloud, and software services to make sure the services that they have are accurate and being billed appropriately.
Love it. So I got a question for you. So you're super passionate about what you do.
Yeah,
Which clearly, it jumps off the screen. You've got a great family, 5 kids. What the hell do you do for fun? Do you have hobbies or anything, or is business?
I was pretty big, Pittsburgh sport fan, which I still am, but I watch more kids' activities than I do, professional sports.
Yeah.
But I play soccer, in the men's league. I play.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I pick up basketball, stuff like that. So I still get it out there. It's just like, I was going pretty hardcore for a while. And then my team, we won the cup.
Yeah.
But they left my name off the cup because I missed too many games. I missed like 4 games due to work stuff. But yeah, Dougie, if you're listening, I'm going to get my name on that cup. But I played soccer in college, played soccer all my life. Soccer would be
really
my number one sport.
What position?
I was left defensive back.
Okay.
Yeah, I played one. It was 1 year, but I did play 1 year of college. And then most of my friends were soccer players, and we played intramural soccer and stuff like that after that.
I would have never guessed.
Much different body type back then.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, it's just like, it's not even that, yes, you're a stout guy, right? You look like a football player, man.
College, first year was 172.
Really?
My freshman year of college. Yeah, 172. So much different body type back in those days.
Wow. Yes. Okay, well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So, hey, as we're starting to wrap this up, I just want to make sure that people know where to get a hold of you. There's people out there, the service that you guys are providing and the impact that you're making in the business world, I think is tremendous. I think it's timely because, again, coming out of this era of abundance. So companies are looking for ways to get more efficient, looking for ways to cut more costs. Partners are looking for new ways to uncover opportunities and also looking for ways to help their customers to drive down costs and get more efficient. So how can our listeners, our watchers, how should they connect with you and your team?
This is the great part. As we've grown in the last couple of years, previously I was the only salesperson. Now we have a 7-person sales team. So we have channel managers throughout the U.S. that can get in market with people and help the clients and partners learn about who we are and what we do. And so you can reach out to us at WTLcom.com, and then we'll get one of our team members to connect with them and see what we can do to help them cut costs and drive automation.
Love it. So, guys, we'll have that contact information also in the show notes. Make sure you reach out to Tim. Yep. And whatever you do, don't talk any trash about Pittsburgh. and remember, if you reach out to him on LinkedIn, tell him what position he played in soccer.
There you
go. That'll let him know that you're a fan of the show and you've been paying attention. Tim, it's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, great conversation.
Very happy to have you guys as a supporter of Business and Bourbon and the Business and Bourbon Lounge. I hope you and your team enjoyed it and had some good glasses of whiskey.
Yeah.
There's more out there.
We're running there right now to get another one. That's
fantastic.
For sure.
All right, guys. Hey, we end this the same way every single time. First, before we end it, I want to encourage you to subscribe. Subscribe, please. If you're not already a subscriber to this podcast, subscribe so you can hear from more great leaders like Tim and give us 5 stars. Rate us 5 stars and give us a great review. If you don't want to rate us 5 stars, have a drink. Come back and listen to it again.
trust me, it'll go down that much easier. Then we'll probably get 5 stars out of you. All right, thanks for watching, guys. Tim, we end this one way, and that is by saying we out as a team on three.
One.
You ready to do this?
Yeah, there we go. One, two, three.
We out.
Business in Bourbon was edited and produced by Glass Ripper Media. Hey, if you like this episode, we'd love it if you rated us 5 stars on your favorite audio or video platform. If you didn't like it so much, rewind it, have another drink. I promise you it'll sound better the next time around. Hey, we also love it if you joined us in our community at businessandbourbon.live. Yeah, go to businessandbourbon.live and join our community for free. You'll have access to exclusive content, and you'll know when we're going to be in your neck of the woods for our best-in-class Business and Bourbon live experience. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.